This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Watertown says, I was thinking more like before a tornado, then thought it's too cold for a tornado. Okay. Used to be. We had a tornado in February. Do we have a tornado in February?
I
That's insane.
I can't remember back that far.
Annie, I'm going to take your word for that because I don't remember that. That is nuts. Maybe south in Wisconsin, down by Watertown, there was. I don't remember one up here, though. I remember a lot of crappy weather, but it wasn't that cold either. So that's messed up, though. When you have a tornado in the middle of winter in Wisconsin, something is not right. And now people think that people can control the weather. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of talent. Can you?
Yeah, I just tell it what to do and it works.
You can produce a hurricane?
I didn't do that.
I can't do that. I can produce light precipitation. I'm getting better and only in my neighborhood. So
nice.
There you go. All right. That's our question for tonight. What is your favorite sports song? It can be music during a game, a lead-in song, just a song you equate with a team. Lay it on us, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Love to read your stuff on the radio. And as you know, you're always welcome to comment on anything we're talking about. And jump in if you want, because we've got some creepy talk throughout the rest of the show. We are getting closer to Halloween, just a couple weeks away. Todd Michaels will be here at 7:20. He's a paranormal investigator, and he has some really cool stories of things that he's investigated. Right now, we are going to head up to Door County over the stream and talk to our new friend and first-timer here on Nightlight. He works for Door County Trolley and does ghost tours. He's one of the guys there. Carl Sarecki joins us now on Nightlight. Carl, how are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
This is a treat for me too. I love Door County, first of all. It's like one of my favorite places. It's become one of my favorite places in the world. It's just such a gorgeous place. You guys are there in Egg Harbor, I believe?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So before we get into the scary stuff, tell us a little bit about Door County Trolley and what you do there.
All right. Well, it's a fantastic company started by AJ Frank. He was a nurse down in Milwaukee. He went on a trolley tour in Savannah, Georgia, and said, I think this can work in Wisconsin. Literally took his life savings and purchased a secondhand trolley and started begging people to ride. That was 24 years ago. Now he has 18 trolleys.
What?
And people are begging him to go for a ride.
Wow. So,
yeah.
That's really cool. When are the rides? I got to say, I go by it a lot when I go to Door County. You guys, if you're heading north, you're to the right, I believe. And there's a whole bunch of trolleys there. Okay. Is it year round?
It does run year round to a degree.
Okay.
The main season is June to the first week in November. But we do have tours all year round. Our wine tour, our wine, chocolate, and cheese tour, our wine, spirits, and brew run on Saturdays all winter long.
So are you a lifelong resident of Door County? Did you grow up there or did you find it?
Found it. Absolutely. Yes. No, that is the big laugh of it all. For I tell my tours, I was not born in Door County nor raised in Door County. And technically, I do not live in Door County. I live in Manitowoc.
Okay.
And I just get to go up there because I was a teacher who retired. And during the summers, I did the job. But when I was dating a girl, she said, I want to show you this place. And she took me up there. And I'm like, I grew up in Connecticut. And I thought, this is New England. It's crazy and gorgeous and wonderful. And so been going there ever. Oh, I married the girl and been going there ever since.
So it's kind of like I've heard it called the Cape Cod of the Midwest. I don't like when people say that because it's its own place. And it always sounds like you have a bit of a chip on your shoulder. I think Door County is a better kept secret. Obviously it gets very crowded, but, I love it just how it is. And, so you still don't live there though. You're in Manitowoc.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
You know, my family's in different areas, so Manitowoc made a better idea to stay, but, spend my summers up there. They the trolley actually gives me a spot to stay.
Oh, nice.
Great company.
I took my my wife and kids and I went to the Landmark in Egg Harbor this summer. Mm-hmm. And what a gorgeous, I mean, honestly, God, they have the most beautiful grounds. I felt like we were in Puerto Rico. Like you look for like a half a mile of trees and then you've got the bay. And we live on the bay on the other side in the Marinette area. Oh. But it looked like an entirely different body of water from that angle. Or maybe it's just because I wasn't used to it. But such a gorgeous
place. No, they have a gorgeous spot. Just fabulous. I mean, yeah. And the bluffs, the Niagara Escarpment that makes up these bluffs, it's like nothing you find anywhere else, really.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is unto itself. That little moniker, Cape Cod of the Midwest, came from National Geographic in 1969.
Oh, so. Is that right?
Yeah, we'll take it. That opened up tourism.
So. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Do you have a favorite spot in Door County you like, Carl?
I do, actually. There's one particular spot in Peninsula State Park. It's the Nicolet Bay Overlook. You just get a panorama of all of Door County right in one little wayside stop. See Nicolet Bay, the islands, Chambers Island, the Strawberry Islands, and you can see all the way up Sister Bay. You can see all the way up to Washington Island from there, too.
Wow.
And in the fall, like now, it's absolutely gorgeous down below the overlook because it's all maples and aspen and birch, so it's just breathtaking.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Well, very good. All right, tell us about the ghost tours and the Trolley of the Doomed. That's a great, ominous... do people ever totally freak out?
Oh, well, each driver, I think, has made his mark to say, I made a kid cry tonight. So it does happen. Because not that we are shooting for that, but yes.
But it's like five and up, right? Is that what it says in the website?
It is. It's not terrifying, but it's spooky. And we make it as spooky as we can, but it's still... It's family friendly. Absolutely. Okay. All our stories come directly from the people to which they've happened or from newspaper accounts at the time from the people to which they happened. Or we've got even one government records, military records of lighthouse keepers. So they're all real deals. And we go to cemeteries, the most haunted house in Door County. We get close to shipwreck sites and talk about that. We get out to the lighthouse too. So we're all over. It's really, really neat. It's also very historical because centers around Fish Creek and there's a lot, everybody's connected, you know, they were all together through the years. So each story kind of leads to the next in a way. And the families know each other.
What you said, government records for the lighthouse.
Sure.
What happened?
So the lighthouse is, so the lighthouse service ran from, right after the Civil War until 1939. And then the Coast Guard took over all lighthouses and life-saving service and all of that. So rolled under their canopy. And now there's a lighthouse and Southern Door that they still hang on to. It's decommissioned, but they use it as a rest and relaxation center for their active and retired Coast Guardmen. And so the log is kept. It's still a military log at the lighthouse. And they write all these things, these hauntings they get from a particular young lady named Minnie Kokums.
Minnie Kokums. And what lighthouse is this?
That's the Sherwood Point Lighthouse, just south of Sturgeon Bay.
Okay.
On the mainland.
And what do you think about all that?
Oh, so I started this and it was like, oh, okay, I'm going to drive the ghost tour. And it is what it is. You know, you are a believer, you're not a believer, or you're kind of in between. And I was always a kind of in between.
Yeah.
And then I started going and what you see, what you hear, what people show you, it's amazing. And our stories are great, as I say, but then after we finish telling the stories, the people come out with all these other things, the photographs they've taken, the images that are found in mirrors and windows in the haunted house, and taking pictures of trees, and all of a sudden there's mist all around, and it is crazy what comes out. So
are you still in the middle now, or do you lean more?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I am a full on believer. I believe that spirits stay with us because they have a purpose, and that's kind of the way each driver will spin it a little bit different, but mine is these souls are here not to haunt people, but because of a connection they had with either the house or the land or the people that they were torn from. And there's a story of a little boy died of tetanus, and he's buried in the family plot, the old family plot. But then that cemetery got closed and his parents weren't able to be buried with him. And the family, I have gotten this right from the family myself, they believe he's still around Fish Creek because he's looking for his mom and dad as he's not buried with them. So
wow.
Heart-wrenching stories and cases.
Yeah, no kidding. How far up the peninsula does the ghost tour go? Like you said, shipwrecks. Are there shipwrecks closer to Egg Harbor? I would imagine there are shipwrecks all around, but I know there's Death's Door up there.
Right.
How far do you go?
It's right in the Fish Creek area and into Peninsula State Park, Ephraim. So we don't get much further than that. We wouldn't be able to do, you know, it would be a too long a tour if we took those. But yes, shipwreck sites right off, actually right in the middle of the bay. The shipwreck we utilized was very much a Fish Creek shipwreck, but it was in the middle of the bay, 2 miles off of Green Island, which is pretty much right in the middle of the bay.
So, yeah.
It went down in 2 minutes and 19 people thrown into the water, and everyone in Fish Creek was related. So tragic for the town. And then these folks, the connections that the family had with them, and warnings, premonitions about the sinking happening and all of that. So it's we bring it all out. And then fishermen not going over that spot still out of fear because of what they see and hear in that area to this day. Yeah.
Wow. My guest is Carl Sarecki. He works for Door County Trolley. They are doing their ghost tours right now, and you can be part of one. It's called the Trolley of the Doomed. And that just goes through October, I would assume, or do you keep that going?
No, it goes from June to November, yes. So
the haunted part.
Yes, that part ends on November 2nd.
Okay. All right. That's cool. The bay is kind of just a creepy. I mean, I know from the Marinette area, people go out to swim at Green Island or even Chambers Island. And I know in the winter, people snowmobile back and forth and sometimes don't come back. There have been a lot of, I think people don't understand fully how dangerous the bay can be sometimes. How many shipwrecks are we talking, do you think?
No, there are more shipwrecks, well, now all the way up and in the door, more shipwrecks in that one spot than anywhere else in one spot on the Great Lakes because of the currents that run through there and all of that. Every town, and Marinette not excluded, every town's got their shipwrecks off their ports, right? Off the marinas, because they had to navigate their way in, and usually it was not good times when they were trying to get in and ran into trouble. Or well, there's the one story in Ephraim where they were, they had an ammunition ship and someone went down to check the ammunition with a candle. Not a good idea. You know, these kinds of things.
No.
That one's not on our tour. Probably should be.
Ouch. So how can people get tickets to this, Carl? Where do they go and what can they expect to see over the course of 2 hours? How many stories are they going to hear typically?
Yeah. So to get the tickets, you just go right online to doorcountytrolley.com. And there's the website. It'll tell you how many seats are left for each tour. And you can get them right online there.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me. Our question tonight is very simple. The simplest question we've ever asked. Dogs or cats? Lay it on us, and I will read your response on the radio. How exciting is that? All right. Without further ado, let's get to our next guest. They've been waiting patiently, and they're two great guys. Very excited to have these guys on the show. They both work for National Lampoon in different capacities. Jeff Tully is a writer for the network, and Jamie Kaler is an actor and the voice of the network, and they join me now on Nightlight. Guys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Dogs. That's my answer.
Without even provocation. I love it. Jeff, what about you?
Don't bury the lead.
Jeff, do you have a dog or cat preference?
Dogs all the way.
Oh, Connery, yeah, two for dogs.
Crazy. It's weird. Only weird guy. I had a friend who had a cat. He was weird. You go to his apartment, there was a bunch of Siamese cats running around. You're like,
oh, dear.
Are you a Bond villain? What's happening? I don't get it.
How do we feel about, this is a California thing, I think, Pete, but how do we feel about dogs in grocery stores? It's kind of bugging me. It's becoming a big LA thing.
Are they service dogs?
No, I mean, if you ask someone, they are. But right.
By the way, let's cut to the chase. There's no such thing as a service dog. If I see one more person scam the system to bring their dog onto a plane to go, I don't feel comfortable unless the dog is sitting with me. You know, you're in a tube with 300 other people, brother. You know, what if I have a pet monkey or a rooster and that I need my rooster, Frank, to get me through the flight around? Here's what I used to be nervous before I had kids. And here's what I'll tell you. Instead of taking a service animal on a flight, take my two children for one flight. I guarantee every flight after that will be the greatest day of your life.
Oh, just, yeah, trying to put in a car seat in the airplane with everybody behind you. Oh, my God. It's a
stroller. Now when I fly without kids, I go to the airport 3 days early. I just hang. I just hang out. I sleep there. It's the greatest.
They're surface kids. Take them with you. What I loved about I had my son, I would put him in the baby Bjorn. We'd walk all around Valley Village where we lived. And I love – people in L.A. are so funny because they love pets more than kids. And I remember one time I went into the store and this woman comes out and sees my son and gets this big smile on her face and then made eye contact with him. And then she immediately pulled back and got all weird. Like her initial response was, oh, what a cute kid. And then, oh, it's a kid. That's how I felt anyway. I don't know. So if it was a dog, it would have been a different story.
So we let my dog right out front. My dog's 20 years old. I have a 20-year-old puggle. Nice. We let him right out the garage. I'm right in Studio City, right next to Valley Village. He walks down. But for maybe 15 seconds, I'm still in the garage getting his poop bag. And before I can walk out, 20 cars have almost screeched to a halt, smashed into a pole to stop to go, oh my gosh, there's a dog. Nobody's, what's happening with this dog? And yet then they'll go to the grocery store, step over a homeless person and not think twice about them.
So funny.
Oh my gosh.
We had, dude, an owl maybe a couple months ago, an owl almost took my dog, tried to pick him up right in front of my house, right in Studio City.
How big is the dog?
I was walking the dog and all of a sudden it felt like a jogger ran by me and clipped my ear. It was an owl, full wingspan.
Oh, wow. Huge.
He lands on my dog. He stumbles over it. He stands up. My dog is 20. Can't see or hear. Didn't even phase him. He just walked right back up into the garage. The owl stood there next to me. And I was like, he obviously couldn't pick him up. He was like 50 pounds. And I said, dude, he's 20. Give me like 3 months. Let me know where you're going to be. And I'll Uber Eats him. I'll bring him right to your house and feed your family for months on him.
Owls.
Oh, yeah. I'm right on the edge of the hills, and the coyotes here have gotten so cocky. They're like, they're at it like 7 o'clock, and they're like, What? You looking at me?
Got a problem?
We had two having relations on my front lawn howling at 2 o'clock. And if you've never heard coyote sex, it's crazy town on my front lawn.
Conrad, Google coyote sex, will you quickly?
Yeah, you should Google that. Listen, hear what it sounds like.
I want to hear this. Now I'm curious. Owls are the jerks, though, of the bird family, I think. That's just common knowledge, but.
Well, they're cocky for sure. They are. He was huge. He was like maybe 3.5-4 feet tall. I was shocked at how big. I didn't know owls were that big. And very cool. Very cool animal.
Yeah. Very creepy, though, too. I could see your consternation. You guys, this is fun having you both here. And this all started because last or maybe 2 weeks ago, I repeated a Jeff Tully joke premise on the air. Footnoted, of course. And I thought, oh, I got to get Jeff on the show. So I reached out, and I'm glad you made it, Jeff, and great to meet you, Jamie. Although I think we met years ago at the Acme Theater, Jeff Lewis and Chip Chinnery. Yep. I used to hang out with them sometimes. Yeah. And you guys—
I just talked to Jeff yesterday. Chip Chinnery, we're really good friends. We still, Jeff and I have done a million shows together. As soon as he said you, I was like, I know Pete from the day. Yeah. The circle is small.
He wrote a really funny script that a friend of mine and I were trying to produce called Unbearable, and it was about a bear who used to be a human, and he remembers his wife, and he's trying to approach his wife as a bear, and it's just the weirdest, funniest script. And we took it to a couple of places, and they said, I don't get it. I'm like, all right, well, of course you don't. It's hilarious. But anyway.
It seems like it would fit well into the National Lampoon archive, right? Like that crazy Van Wilder bear that kind of takes, he's like, hey, goes off on it.
Let's talk about that. You guys both work for National Lampoon. Jeff, you said you talk about, do they license these films you were talking about, like Zoolander and Anchorman?
They have a deal with Paramount, so we have all the Paramount library.
Oh, nice.
They're fantastic. You know, I say from A to Z, Anchorman to Zoolander. So in Beverly Hills Cop, just everything you can imagine. Paramount has just an insane comedy library. So that's not to mention a lot of the TV shows like Reno 911 and Drunk History and stuff like that from Viacom. So really cool channel, just more than just the National Lampoon. You know, I think people think of the movies, but Animal House and stuff, but these are different movies. It's a much bigger library. It's kind of like the best of, great comedy movies. Jamie and I met when I was working at America's Funniest Home Videos and did a million shows together. And so when I got the National Lampoon job, it was a very short conversation with my boss who'd work with them there too, and it was like, Jamie's the perfect voice for National Lampoon. I mean, it's just like, it's a no-brainer.
That's so
I still
great.
Have that 1980s game show host voice. I don't know if you've ever seen Robot Chicken, but I do the I do the voice of the bloopers host. Coming up next, more crazy bloopers. Always kind of in that vein.
All right, we're going to do a quick news break here. And I would love for you to do a promo for Nightlight before you leave with that million-dollar voice. All right, fantastic. Yeah. Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler are
million-dollar Jeff. Jeff, we got to talk about money. Did you hear what he just said?
$70. Yeah, I'm not fussy.
It's Green Bay.
It's like a $20 an hour voice.
All right, we're coming right back with Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Bridget from the 818 says, cats, they're the pets of the future because they are not as needy as dogs. That's the 818. And then Amanda says, she used to get looks when she walked her ferrets. That'll do it. Oh, it's like walking a bearded dragon. Both are more acceptable in public when you walk. Dogs are more acceptable in public when you walk them. Well, yeah. So
I had a girlfriend who had a chinchilla.
What is that?
And I don't know if you know this about chinchillas, but they are nocturnal animals. So it slept all day, and then it had a wheel in its cage. And just about the time you went to sleep, it started going, zing, 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 zing. And we'd have to get up and then go take a brick and put it on the wheel. So then, like, the chinchilla's like, what? I'm in a cage and I can't use the, like, it was, I go, why? And then I was like, oh, this is why they make coats out of these animals. It makes more sense now. It offers, it was very soft. Oh, to hold it, you'd be like, what if I didn't have to feed this thing? What if I just laid it around my neck? And you go, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
Is it like a ferret? Is it like the ferret family or the?
It is. It is very much like a ferret, okay, for sure. And in the same vein of, but yeah, the fur was just fantastic.
Sounds like you're having a moment there, Jamie.
I did. I mean, I had to go to the hospital once. It got stuck. No, that's
that's a different urban legend.
That's a whole different.
All right, so
chinchill out on this subject.
Chinchill out about it. There it is, the button. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, there's my first question for Jeff. My guests are Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler. They work for the National Lampoon Network. Jeff is a writer for National Lampoon. Jamie is the voice of the network and an actor. Jeff, when I met you, you were working the door at the Funny Firm. You were just starting to put an act together. You did stand up. You moved to LA. You have this great career. You're doing all these cool projects. And now you're executive producing. You're working at National Lampoon. Are you where you thought you'd end up?
Oh, that's a terrifying question.
I'd say it knowing you're doing okay. There's, you know.
It was weird when all you guys were on, you know, I did stand up since I was 16, like you guys, you know, and it was for the listeners, there's a group of 20 deep of Chicago comics, you, Jimmy Pardo, Jimmy Dore, you know, Mike Siegel, Steve Seeger, and all these guys who were like, you know, had been in a couple of years when I got to out of college and back to Chicago. You guys had been doing it a while. And yeah, I had taken my break for college. And even when I was doing stand up, you know, like I was working, you know, Brian McCann from Conan O'Brien, we had a weekly show. And even when I was doing stand up, I always identified with Artie on Larry Sanders' show. I always wanted to be Artie, you know, the guy behind the scenes, running things, telling people what to do.
Yeah.
I much prefer writing, directing, you know, and I can fake it on stage, but I'll never be like a Jamie, you know, like an A-plus comedian. So I was like, well, you know, why be a B-minus, B-plus comedian when I could be the puppet master? You know, that's so much more fun for me.
It's so funny because there just some guys have that temperament. And I could I knew you were a funny stand-up, but I also, when you say that, I'm not surprised because you have that kind of mellow, nothing riles you kind of, and that's how you have to be as a producer, right?
I think when you have extreme ADHD, you're drawn towards jobs that where you have to put out fires a mile a minute. You know, that's producing. Producing is basically just being a fireman and a plumber at the same time. Everything is going wrong. You're getting blamed for everything. And it's so much fun for me. It's like Tetris, you know?
Jamie, you've been on a lot of fun sitcoms in addition to your work at National Lampoon. You were on a show called My Boys, which had a nice run. And
it did, and it was very Chicago. It was a Chicago show, and I remember throwing the first pitch out at Wrigley, and we actually shot on Wrigley Field. I had to run the bases at Wrigley for an episode, and we drank all over town. I mean, we shot there, and then like by day three, the producer had to come to us and go, listen, you guys look like drunken corpses that floated ashore. We're shooting a television show. You've got to stop staying out till 5 a.m. But that sounds dangerous. Yeah, that was a big one. But I, you know, back in the day, I did Friends. I did Will and Grace, King of Queens, Parenthood. I've done a lot of sitcoms. The last few years, I was on Tacoma FD with all the Broken Lizard guys, Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan, Paul Soder. So I've, you know, you asked him, are you exactly where you are, where you thought you'd be? And no one ever is.
Yeah,
I think in Hollywood, the trick is to ride waves. You know, everyone said you like you get an amazing wave and then it has to end. Like sitcoms, like I remember when My Boys ended, all of a sudden you're testing for other stuff. It doesn't quite take off and then something else goes. But, you know, to hold a career down for as many years as Jeff has in this town, I think it's you ride these crazy waves where you're on this unbelievably successful show and it's gold and everyone knows you and they're reaching out. And then all of a sudden, you're looking for the next gig, and then it comes around. So, the beauty of stand up is that you can always like, it's the only thing you can control. Cause obviously right now the business is contracting a little bit and, you know, going off to do the streaming stuff with National Lampoon was a gift. I mean, that was all of a sudden we're on this crazy ride with that thing. And I just went and did a dry bar comedy. Jeff's back doing some comedy nights. And nice. I think it's just about projects, about catching on a project that's super fun. Like anywhere else where you just, you know, you change from job to job. I'm always excited to do the next job.
That's a great outlook. You know, and you said that perfectly. No one really ever is where they think, unless you're like, you know, Leo DiCaprio or someone. It just doesn't happen that way. But if you,
all he's thinking about is who's the next 25-year-old Israeli model. So even he's always looking for the next project.
I learned my lesson for him.
Yeah, when it comes to that, I learned my lesson really. I got really lucky in LA. Like within two and a half years, I just kind of stepped into a show running job with basically no experience. It just came down. It was for Fox Sports. It was called Fuel TV. The channel was extreme sports. And I only got the job because I had worked a little bit on Best Damn Sports Show writing and stuff. But the guy who ran Fuel TV was from that. But I only got the job because I knew a little bit about skateboarding and BMX and stuff like that. I mean, and the other comedians didn't. And that lasted, it was a daily show, and that lasted for 7 years. And when it was over, we had, I don't know, maybe 60 employees, and everybody, 7 years, it got canceled. You know, they moved on, you know, they changed their format at Fuel and stuff. And I was so, you know, I was so depressed. And I went to one, you know, one of my producer friends that I really respect, who'd been in the business a long time, and I'm like, man, I feel like I let everybody down. The show got canceled. He's like, Jeff, you ran a show for 7 years. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It's a great run.
That
doesn't
happen. Yeah, 4 years, you're lucky. You know, I mean, so so that's the lesson. Is like you what Jamie said is, you have to know that everything ends and everything begins in this business. I mean, I call it house cat syndrome. You can't get comfortable. You know,
Pete, you're the same. I mean, you're an established filmmaker, dude. Everyone, just to let everyone know how hard it is to get any film made. It's shocking to see. And you hear the stories. I heard you talking about The Godfather. That thing almost went away
a million times.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Then they had to work a deal with every film that ever gets made is like kismet. And so, you know, as a filmmaker yourself, you must have those moments where you're like, it's crazy working. And then, you know, you'll always for the next. But that's what I love about this job.
Right.
I'm always amazed when somebody stays, you know, at a factory for like 50 years and kudos to them to have that stability and to be able to do that and get the gold watch at the end. But for me, even doing stand up, Jeff and I talk about going on the road and doing the same jokes like week in, week out, 50 weeks a year. I've always been very lucky that I could do voiceover, I could do acting, I could do some stand-up and podcast. And I mean, it's kind of probably hurt me too, because sometimes if you're not in the same lane the whole time,
yes,
people don't know you and you kind of fade away. But then people go, wait, you were in this and this. And then you're like, yeah. I mean, I like the challenge of changing up and doing stuff, because honestly, I get bored. I mean, ADHD probably as well, where I'm just like, I can't tell the same joke over and over and over again. I have to like throw it out and move on to the next.
That's a really great. And if I have an issue with, if there is something I could do over, I would pick a lane. Cause I've, you know, did stand up, I did some acting, writing, and now I'm doing this. And it's like, I get bored too. And I'm like, I need a new challenge, you know? And if millions of dollars aren't rolling in, I'm going to try to find something fun. And it's not rolling in, by the way. But, yeah, and it's interesting because when I moved to LA, I booked a show, Gaffigan, your My Boys co-star.
He was on My Boys, yeah.
We got cast in this VH1 show as the two leads. We shot the pilot in New York. It gets picked up. Within a week, I get a phone call from Gaffigan, a message. I call him back. I go, what, did we get canceled already? And he goes, yeah, we did.
Yes.
The pilot didn't even air. And I went into a depression for like 3 months. And everyone's like, dude, that's common that you're not, you know. And so when things happen, something happens easy like that, I want to tell people that's not real. You know, you're going to have setbacks, and it's really the journey, I think, in my own experience as a fellow ADHDer.
Yeah. I mean, very few people are Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Comes to town, auditions for two shows, books them both, chooses the 70s show, and you're like, he's off and running. Been in town like 6 days. That doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't ever happen.
So anytime you have any success, because I also know, I mean, a ton of people from my friends at Acme Comedy Theater who are off doing other stuff now, because to hold a career together in this, in any creative art form, whether you're painting or making music, but that's the lifeblood of it, right? To sit and to write a joke or make a movie and show it to people. And there's that nervousness of like, will people like what I made? I mean, that's the challenge. And so it's more of a quality of life thing than it is trying to monetize. You know, you want to monetize, but you know.
Yeah.
You
know. My son is going
but
through
that right
now. I love
the creativity of it.
He'll have a good set and he'll go, oh my God, he's on top of the world. And then a week later, he's like, Dad, I don't get it. I don't know what to tell you. You just got to keep doing it. That's the process, you know?
Yes.
Jeff, you and I probably have a lot of, KP Anderson. I worked on Sports Soup for a while. Andrew Genzer.
Yeah. I just worked with KP at the Asheville Comedy Festival.
Oh, nice.
Last month. So yeah, got to see him.
So
Genzer, yeah.
Where can people find the Nash? Is it an app on Roku they can download, or
yeah,
how do they see your program?
You know what they call it? They call it fast channels now. That's what they call it. So when you go on Pluto, Roku, Plex, Tubi, Freevee, I could just keep making up names if you want. Bing bong, ding dong.
Those are actually all real, except the last two.
No, they're real now. They just started trending. So they're all, they just got bought by Warner Brothers. So anyway, there's a million of them, Tubi, Freevee, all that stuff, Pluto, Samsung, Roku, your smart TV has them. And basically just look, you know, it's a funny thing how this is a great example of how everything works. We went away from cable, right? And now we're back. If you look at Pluto, Roku, all those fast services, it looks like old school cable. It's just a live channel guide. For me, it's much more comforting than Netflix to go through the channels. And like, I love that format. So, and there's no surprise, it's become extremely successful over the past couple of years. When I was at AFE, we were the first ever fast channel to make all original content. And now now 4 years later, everybody's getting into the game and trying to start a channel. And it's basically a new version of cable, but now it's on your phone, you know?
Oh, that's great.
But you know, it's funny. That's why I'm pretty lucky that Jeff's dragging me along to do these kinds of things, because I'm still a dinosaur. Like, all I ever wanted to do was I wanted to be Sam Malone on Cheers, and I wanted to go do stand up during the hiatus, right? Like, that to me was the dream, because doing a sitcom, you get the script on Monday, you do a little play, you shoot it on Friday, have some drinks, back Monday. Like, that to me was the dream.
Yeah.
But what's happening is, what Jeff's on top of is this, it's content, really. And so people aren't even watching TV. My kids don't watch TV shows.
Right,
they're watching personalities, and those personalities need content. And so basically, you're making a show, but you're not making a four-camera sitcom. You're making a show about somebody or something that's very specific to that streaming service. And I mean, Jeff's really been at the cutting edge of it and has dragged me along for the last couple of years of these amazing projects that I get to be a part of.
Well, so it's a fun combination of old and new technology. I just found out today when I was leaving the office that the Eddie Murphy marathon on Sunday was like our highest rated day, you know, it's Beverly Hills Cop, yeah. 1 and 2, 3, all this stuff. And it's so funny because it's new technology, but it's this comfort, you know. I'm sure there's a bunch of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds and up who've never seen Beverly Hills Cop original. And they were like, oh, you know, so it's a nice blend of the two worlds, you know.
But look what we're doing right here. I do a show on StreamYard as well. We do the Parents Lounge on StreamYard.
Jamie, hold that thought. When we come back, we're going to do a real quick thing. Okay. We'll pick it up right there when we come back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wava, Jamie Kaler, and Jeff Tully hanging out with me on Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
My My guests are the voice of National Lampoon right now, actor Jamie Kaler, and National Lampoon writer and executive producer of many other projects, and stand-up comedian Jeff Tully are joining me here tonight for just a few more minutes. Jamie, Conrad's favorite show is How I Met Your Mother, and my message to you is just, the window is open.
The window is open, baby. One of my favorite things I've ever done. It was really fun to be on that show. I forgot about it. I always forget about that one too. It's crazy that, I mean, we talk about it. It was like, I remember you book it, you go shoot it, and then the next week you're like, oh, that's right, I did. It's like a 5-day thing. It was so much fun.
Jeff, you did something with Will Smith. You did a video, The Jump.
Yeah, I didn't kill Will Smith. I was because of my extreme sports background from the Fuel and stuff in Fox Sports. I was put way too much faith in me, but it was a YouTube live event. Will Smith, for his 50th birthday, jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually Grand Canyon adjacent because the rules you couldn't do in the actual Grand Canyon, but it was right next door. And yeah, he jumped out of a helicopter on a bungee cord and he lived. So I get credit for him.
Was he farting the whole time from the helicopter into the canyon? Did you read that story?
I did, with Tommy Lee Jones in the Men in Black car.
And as he's ripping one, he says, I'm sorry to Tommy Lee Jones. That almost made me like him a little more after the Chris Rock thing, but I still can't get there.
You know, you can still see some of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, like, to his credit. I mean, the guy he wasn't an actor, he was a rapper, but in some of the early episodes, you can see his mouth saying the other lines of the other actor.
Oh, seriously? Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a drinking game almost or something.
Yeah.
Jamie, you were in the middle of saying something when we went to break.
I don't know. It's probably garbage.
You're talking about your deadline.
I got two kids. Oh, I do the parents' lounge. So it's funny too, because my wife's out of town with one of my kids. She went back east for a family visit. And so I have my one daughter literally in the other room where I have to go like, go watch TV. And I have her iPad here because otherwise it'll drain the Wi-Fi. So I steal her iPad.
Oh, nice.
I'm a 60-year-old guy with a 9-year-old kid. I'm hanging on by
a thread. Way are you 60?
God, my favorite.
Whoa.
60. I just turned 60 2 weeks ago, man.
Oh,
no, this is all. This is just AI. This is a puppet head.
Yeah, it's working, man.
I'm in the other room moving levers. It's not happening.
Talking about kids and technology, Jamie, tell Pete what you're telling me about the difference between your generation and your kids' generation when they go out to events and stuff like concerts. And they don't.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as a 60-year-old, I always tell people, like, oh, having kids at my age is like getting a DUI just as you pull into the driveway. You're like, dude, I was almost home. I was so close, officer. This is my yard. And he's like, no, man, you're under arrest. And your punishment is you're going to be bankrupt and tired for the rest of your life. But
gosh, that's funny.
I didn't have, you know, I have to tell my daughter I grew up without a cell phone because, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to a concert and you lost your friends, you made new friends. That's how that show went. Sometimes those friends turned out to be cooler than your old friends, and they became your friends because you had social skills and can talk to people face to face and maintain eye contact. It was a weird time.
We got someone who's got your back here. Amanda Nimmer says, no regrets walking my ferrets on walks and chinchillas bathe in sand.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's why
insane.
They're so soft. They got a nice, like a suede stone where they rub their fur or something. But yeah.
That's lovely. It's so weird because I tell my kids that too. Like, I try not to be that dad where I'm like, you know, I didn't have cell phone. That's all just when we were born. We have no control over it. So those idiot parents who say, when I was a kid, well, when I was a kid, if I was a kid now, I'd be doing the same thing the kids are now. This is not a superpower we all have. We were just born when we were born. And the minute I say, put your phones down, the second I move and I pick up my phone because I can't live without my phone either. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those traps, you know.
We signed a pledge for my 11-year-old and all the parents pledged we would not buy our kids' phones until high school. And so I felt bad for her. She was like kind of angry and she wanted a cell phone. So on the way to and from school, I would let her play music on my cell phone in the car. And I don't know if you know how algorithms work, but now my phone thinks I love Taylor Swift.
And
so
you do.
I just get all this Taylor Swift merch ads and Travis Kelce updates. And then I have to sit there and go, oh, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah. Yeah. Shake it off.
So, I have a 13-year-old daughter. I know what you're referencing.
Jeff.
Dude, the problem is they're on an iPad. Like she doesn't even have books. The iPad is the book.
Right.
Can you imagine if you were in high school and you were three clicks from gratuitous bad videos that young men should not be watching, and you were trying to do your homework and you're like, well, if I just touch this button and this button, I'm going to get I'm going to watch a party happening. And I would have never got through high school.
That's what we used to say. I used to plan sleepovers with friends around R-rated movies. Like you plan it a month ahead of time. Animal House is on at the end of the month. And now it's like, you just click a button, but,
just the nude scene in Airplane.
Right.
You'd be, you know, where she just runs across the screen. You were like literally waiting for that. I remember you'd have the scrambled signal and you'd kind of catch, you're like, I think I saw a breast on Skinamax. Was that a breast on?
Hey guys, this was so fun. We got to run. I cannot thank you enough for the time tonight. Great fun. I hope we could do this again soon. And thanks for the laughs and be careful pulling into your driveway. I don't want to see any.
I appreciate it, brother. Super fun, Pete. Great to reconnect with you, man.
You too, JB.
Congrats on the show. It's super fun.
Jeff, thanks for setting this up, buddy. Well, let's talk soon.
My pleasure. Take
care. Guys, have a great night. That's Jamie Kaler, the voice of the National Lampoon Network, and Jeff Tully, National Lampoon writer and executive producer. Two great guys hanging out at Nightlight. It was fun. I'd also like to thank Sean Katzbach and all of you who won tickets. That's going to be a great night in Marinette. So yes. Conrad has your information. Maybe we'll try to do a a giveaway tomorrow. Dogs won our poll, by the way, 10-6. Not a huge traffic tech night, but a pretty decisive win for the Dogs.
It was, yes.
All right. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.